Chapter 6, Property Disclosures and Environmental Issues. Property Conditions and Environmental Issues. Hazardous Substances. A variety of laws, state and federal, have been passed for environmental protection. Licensees must be familiar with the nature of environmental problems and the laws and regulations that apply. Most environmental regulation and enforcement on the federal level is through the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. Lead is found in paint and pipes and soil. Use of the lead-based paint disclosure for all properties built before 1978 is required by law. The seller or landlord is responsible for providing this disclosure. The buyer has the right to have the property inspected for lead within 10 days of the effective date of the contract and may terminate the contract due to the results of the lead inspection within 14 days of the effective date by providing written notice to the seller. The disclosure allows buyers to waive their right to a lead inspection. Older homes may have lead plumbing. Lead is hazardous when eaten or when inhaled in dust particles. There is no duty to remediate lead. A seller must keep a record/copy of the disclosure for at least 3 years from the sale date. Landfills or waste disposal sites, when improperly constructed, can lead to groundwater contamination. Know locations and disclose. Recommend water testing. Underground storage fuel tanks, 10% or more below the ground, that are old, rusty, or leaking, can cause groundwater contamination. A malfunctioning flapper can cause an overflow, overspill, or leak in these tanks. A leak in the septic system can result in groundwater contamination. Sometimes found on both commercial and residential properties, these are commonly called USTS. Recommend water testing. All candidates should know, the following tanks are exempt from the federal UST rules. Farm and residential tanks of 1,100 gallons or less. Capacity holding motor fuel used for non-commercial purposes. Tanks storing heating oil used on the premises where it is stored. Tanks on or above the floor of underground areas, such as basements or tunnels. Septic tanks and systems for collecting stormwater and wastewater. Farming herbicides and pesticides are other sources of groundwater contamination. Recommend water testing. Asbestos is an insulating material. Problems arise in its removal. A CMS, asbestos-containing materials, can be friable or easily crumbled. The resulting dust is extremely hazardous. A seller's only duty or obligation is to disclose the presence of asbestos. An asbestos abatement plan outlines the control of asbestos in a property. Methods of abatement include removal, encapsulation, and/or enclosure or sealing the area. Radon is a naturally occurring colorless and odorless gas produced by the decay of radioactive materials in rocks under the ground. Radon enters homes through the foundations. Radon mitigation plans can reduce radon levels through the installation of pipes and fans. Mold. Mold needs water, oxygen, nutrients, and the right temperature to grow. Mold growth is more likely in newer homes with tighter construction. Excess humidity leads to rapid mold growth. Plumbing issues such as a clogged storm drain can also cause mold growth. Greenfields. Land that has never previously been developed. Grayfields. Land able to be redeveloped, empty Walmart. Brownfields. Land known to be hazardous, most likely a hazardous industrial site. Water quality can be graded to explain both condition and use. White or clear water is tap water and potable, able to be used for drinking and food preparation. Gray water is gently used water from your bathroom sinks, showers, tubs, and washing machines. Gray water may contain traces of dirt, food, grease, hair, and certain household cleaning products. Black water denotes wastewater from toilets, which likely contains pathogens. Wetlands are a link between land and water. The government defines wetlands as an area where water covers the soil, or is present either at or near the surface of the soil all year, or for varying periods of time during the year, including during the growing season. They are, therefore, often adjacent to or tributaries to navigable waters. The soil is often saturated. The EPA regulates many wetlands. They are sometimes a habitat for endangered species, including plants and animals. Protected wetlands are commonly surrounded by a buffer zone. An area of wetlands can be called a mire, swamp, bog, peat, fen, or marsh. Hazard and flood insurance. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, oversees the National Flood Insurance Program, NFIP, in the United States. Flood insurance is available for both residential and commercial properties under the NFIP. Additional flood insurance is also available from private insurance companies. Flood-prone areas throughout the country have been identified on maps prepared and researched by the Army Corps of Engineers. Property located in the floodplain would be required to have flood insurance in addition to a homeowner's policy if federally related financing was used to purchase the property. Where flood insurance is required by a lender, minimum coverage can be set by the lender. This is also true of homeowner's insurance. A homeowner's policy will protect the property from damage due to a variety of reasons, including but not limited to fire, storms, smoke, vandalism, and other perils. A homeowner's policy does not provide any coverage for flooding. Clean Air and Water Acts. The Clean Air Act sets guidelines for emissions of hazardous air pollutants. The Clean Water Act sets wastewater standards for industry. The Clean Water Act, under the administration of the EPA, also sets guidelines for the disposal of waste into the oceans. The Clean Water Act applies to all navigable waters, including adjacent wetlands. Both of these laws are administered by the EPA. These laws have particular relevancy to the oil and gas industry and can be used to demonstrate EPA involvement with oil and gas leases. EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, is charged with administering all environmental laws in the U.S. In addition to the laws mentioned above, the EPA administers CERCLA, the Comprehensive Environmental Response, Compensation, and Liability Act that was passed in 1980 and created the Superfund to help pay for the cleanup of hazardous spills and waste. Only federal and state regulatory agencies and Indian tribes have the authority to spend CERCLA funds. CERCLA sets guidelines for the cleanup of hazardous waste and spills. Past and present property owners are liable for cleanup. Anyone who contributed to the problem must share the cost of cleanup. When the Superfund ran out of money, SARA, Superfund Amendment and Reauthorization Act, was passed to increase the balance available for cleanups. If a buyer or owner is concerned about existing or potential environment contamination liabilities on a property, an agent can recommend a Phase 1 Environmental Site Assessment, ESA. This report will provide research on the current and historical uses of a property that may have impacted the soil or groundwater beneath the property and could pose a threat to the environment and/or human health. If a Phase 1 ESA detects the possible presence of common hazardous substances, including asbestos, lead, or radon, then a Phase 2 ESA will be recommended. In a Phase 2 ESA, the examiner will drill into the ground to measure and assess the presence of these types of substances and groundwater contamination. For government projects, an Environmental Impact Statement, EIS, will be done. An EIS is done to determine the effect of a project on the community. The report includes a detailed description of the proposed project. Environmental and property disclosure, obligations and liability. A seller's disclosure of property condition is used in many states. The seller prepares a seller's disclosure. The seller is responsible for its accuracy. The agent's role is to encourage honesty and full disclosure. Remember, a seller must disclose the presence of hazardous substances on their property, but there is no duty for the seller to remediate the problem. Material facts that should be questioned and disclosed include land/soil conditions, pest infestation, toxic mold, and other interior environmental hazards, structural issues, roof, doors, foundation, windows, condition of electrical and plumbing systems and fixtures, Location within natural hazard or specially regulated areas. Nuclear power plant, landfill, floodplains, wetlands, endangered species, etc. Potentially uninsurable property. Known alterations and additions. Public controls, statutes, and public utilities to be disclosed include zoning and planning guidelines, school districts, utility districts, tax districts, homeowners association membership / property owners association membership. As an agent, it is always a good idea to recommend inspections. It is a licensee's responsibility to explain the property inspection process and the use of inspections to buyers. An inspection report will show the results of a thorough visual survey of a property. Additional inspections may include those for wood-boring insects, termites, lead-based paint, structural and mechanical systems, sewage facilities, radon, and/or other toxins. A licensee must also inquire about any red flag issues. A red flag is defined as something that would warn a reasonably observant agent that there may be an underlying problem. The listing agent is required to mention this to the seller and any prospective buyers. Examples of red flags: discolored water bubbling up from under the ground at the site of a buried fuel tank, an iridescent sheen on the surface of a pond. Liability considerations. The courts have decreed that it is a broker's responsibility to discover and disclose that there may be problems on a property. The broker's responsibility is limited to areas accessible for visual inspection. Errors and omissions insurance can protect a broker if the seller misrepresents property condition. The broker is unaware of the misrepresentation and could not have detected it by visual inspection.